I'm kidding.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
No, y'all know what time it is. Yes, sir.
It's that Patriots trash talking time.
Oh, another week.
Another great week.
12th, man. Another amazing week. Man, guys, this month is flying by. Thanksgiving is next week. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, time is flying. Next thing you know, I know we've been seeing all the Christmas ads and holidays and all that fun stuff, too. So it's and then we'll be ready to start 2023, man. It's crazy how it's been an amazing year. It's been a challenging year, but you're not ready for that? You're not ready?
That's how I am ready to start 2023.
Yeah. There's been some crazy news about your boy, Gary, trying to become, president. We're not going to talk about that. We got to talk some sports here. But let's get this party started. Looking very dapper over there. Let's check in with the crew, see how everyone is, as we always do on this 15th day of November. JQ, how you feeling, sir?
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm trying to shake off the cobwebs. A little tired, but I took a nap, so I'm good. I'm good to roll.
Struggle bus.
But no, I'm good, man.
You all have us. Yeah, we'll wrap this show up at 12 too, just to keep it going too. I know it's been one of those crazy weeks too, so all good. Rob Ford, man, how you feeling, sir?
Man, feeling dynamite, man. Ready to get this party started.
Dynamite.
Always a good time to hang out with you fellas. And you mentioned Thanksgiving, we all got a lot to be thankful for and looking forward to it.
Was that
man, you get two doses of asparagus in one day, JQ. You're going to feel dynamite.
Yeah, man. Boy, you took it back. And said, I'm going to say, I know my age.
Oh, yeah.
JJ.
Walker.
Man. Man, love some a good time. Hey, Gary, Curtis, how you guys doing?
Damn.
Yeah, Freeman's doing okay.
It was a good time.
We went over some of the picks, this evening. So we're ready to get this road on the show.
Road on the show.
Good stuff, Gary. Good stuff. Chris.
Okay,
ready to start.
I got a story to tell you guys real quick. Okay.
The Blazers and the Spurs are on right behind me, Gary.
I put my foot in my mouth worse than usual. I'm picking up my RV from the shop. And I asked this young lady, I said, so when are you due?
Oh, boy. Never make that.
Oh, no.
Apparently she wasn't pregnant.
You never do that, Gary. Come on. You know better than that.
Bro, seriously. Seriously,
Rob,
you never.
Rob, I kid you not. This lady looked like she was like 9 months, like ready, like any, like overdue type. Pregnant. You know, normally
Gary,
I wouldn't,
on,
but I didn't. I thought that this was an over, but she said, yeah, no, I'm not.
You never do that.
Never, unless the baby comes out, then, hey, congratulations. That's never you say you were even pregnant.
Yeah,
you never, never say nothing at all.
Yeah.
I don't care.
That
Gary,
is
the more I teach
hilarious.
You, the more I get.
Ooh, yeah, and like I said, never, never, never say a woman's pregnant. Never, ever, 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 ever.
That
ever.
Was my F up moment for the day.
That is fun.
Hey, but we're gonna have some fun. Let's get to the topics here. Rob, appreciate you posting again. We're going to talk about some updated top 32 draft as well. We got some prospects for that. And let's kick this off. Obviously, calling the show, you know, the name, the number is always the same as the fellow call in. It's always the same. The 424-243-9519. Follow us on the Twitter at the number 12-PHMAN Sports. And last but not least, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports12man or 12man sports. Either way, you will find the picks, posts, all that fun stuff we enjoy as well. So without further ado, let's jump into this. And apparently I'm leading this off, too, as far as the top five NFL teams. And as much as I hate doing this, I have to give the Vikings their props. I've got them at number one with an 8-1 record. And actually their only loss was actually to the Vikings. Excuse me, to the Eagles, excuse me. So, you know, if you look at what they had, so, you know, that was – it's a pretty you know, they got some pretty good wins in the belt. So at that juncture, I guess I had to put them in the top seed. Again, I still have the Eagles at, in spite of that pretty bad loss, you know, questionable loss for some calls. I know Scott Richmond was going nuts texting me to the Commanders. They did drop, so I got them at number two. Number three and number four is kind of debatable, guys, because it can go either way. But for me, I've got the Dolphins in a stronger position. Only because, and we'll talk about this later, as far as the addition of Bradley Chubb, man, they really went in and just kind of dismantled the Browns and kind of showed the Browns what a championship team looks like. I got the Chiefs number four, and as much as it's, again, we can always flip that coin, I've got the Ravens at number five at 6-3, kind of edging out the Bills. I know the Bills had that tough loss, obviously, against the Vikings. So, and what a great, amazing catch, too. We're going to talk about that catch. You know, Justin Jefferson made that great catch. Just a couple of, you know, great plays for that game, too.
LSU.
So, obviously, yeah, we'll talk about that as well, too. But that's what I've got in my top five. I got the Vikings, Eagles, Dolphins, Chiefs, and Ravens to kind of round out my top five. So that's what I've got so far.
Yeah. You want to take the Eagles at the number one spot. Even though they lost, I'm keeping them at the number one spot. I mean, I know it was early in the season, but they thumped the Vikings pretty good when they played them early in the year. So I still got the Eagles at the number one spot. Hey, it was just a bad night last night. I caught up to them. The Eagles only had three turnovers all season prior to last night's game, and then all of a sudden they had four in one game. I'm just going to chalk it up as a bad night for them, and but I still have them in the number one spot. But to your point, the Vikings, an impressive road win and a heck of a football game. You know, to go on the road and win that game over Buffalo. So I got the Vikings at the number two spot. As you mentioned, Jefferson, what an amazing catch. I mean, I was talking about that guy from Notre Dame and his catch on Saturday, and then Justin Jefferson come back the next day and probably top that one. And, incredible. Incredible playmaker. He saved Kirk Cousins. So, I mean, outstanding catch. Dalvin Cook with a big game, a couple of huge runs for them. In that football game, 81-yarder as well. So I definitely got the Vikings and them two Chiefs. Hey, you know, we keep wanting to sleep on Patrick Mahomes and his Chiefs, but he is playing phenomenal football right now. Tony got a touchdown in his first game with the Chiefs this past weekend.
Yep.
So he's proven to have an impact already. You still got Kelsey. An improved defense, not a great defense by the Chiefs, but an improved defense. So I've been at the number three spot, the Dolphins. I mean, since Tua's been back, they're 4-0. And so I got them at the number four spot. They're 7-3. They've gone on a few tough road wins. They were actually physically strong against the Browns, which, you know, which was somewhat surprising. I mean, I thought they would win the game, but they beat the Browns in the trenches in that game. Teron Armstead getting back in the lineup is a huge addition for the Dolphins in that game, too. And then number five, tough decision for me between the Giants and the Ravens. I only went with the Giants because of the record. They're 7-2, and they seem to score 24 points every week and win. that's about all they're going to give you. But their defense is holding opponents to 16, 17 points, and they're playing ball control offense. They're getting enough defense. They're time, you know, they're possessing the football, and their offense is really playing good defense by keeping other teams off the field. So I'm gonna put them at the number five with a slight edge over the Ravens.
Yeah, I can't cool with some of that. I'm with you. If you got two teams tied with the same record, they played each other, I got to go with the one that won the game. So I'm going to keep the Eagles there. But you call that, Rob, is regression to the mean. You know, it's impossible to keep that kind of turnover margin they had going into that game probably for a whole season. So I'm going to go with the Eagles as well, number one. You just ran into a hiccup, and that's just an egregious miss on the face mask call on Goddard. You know, he's hurt. As if the back judge looked right at it, so I have no idea what he was thinking about when he watched that play go down and he didn't call it. That was a big turning point there because they were on the move. So I'm going to go with the Eagles. You got to give First Cousins his credit now. The 8-1, they lost to another 8-1 team, but they, you know, they're playing good ball. You know, Justin Jefferson, like you mentioned, and Dalvin Cook in that game, the defense doing just enough. That's a tough place to go get a victory, especially with the odds stacked against you like that. So I'm going to give the Minnesota their due and put them in number two. The Chiefs, yeah, because nobody wants to play them. You can say what you want to say, but nobody really wants to play Patrick Mahomes, especially at Arrowhead. That offense is dynamic, and that defense, like you said, just good enough to not lose them the game when you have such a good offense the Chiefs have. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs at three. I kind of, you know, struggle with the next one. I still like the Bills in there. I still feel like if the Bills and the Dolphins play, you know, and everything is equal, and the Bills have just been devastated on the defensive side with injuries. But I still feel like the Bills, to me, are get my nine at four because I look at who I wouldn't want to play. So I put them at four, and I bring the Dolphins in at five. It's a little tough. As I thought about the Cowboys. They had a chance to be in that five, but, you know, they let that game slip away in Green Bay. And I feel like right now I'd rather play the Cowboys, even with Michael Parsons in their defense, than the Dolphins right now. They're hitting on all cylinders with Tua back in that lineup. Like you said, getting those defense reinforcements. And what the Bengals couldn't do against the Browns, the Dolphins did. Just thumped them in the trenches, beat them up.
Run the ball.
So I'm going to go with them. Yeah, I'm going to go with them at five. So I'm going to go Eagles, Vikings, Chiefs, Bills, Dolphins.
Well, yeah, big week in the NFL and a sad week for me. But Curtis and I both, we were – got our hearts ripped out, but I'm going to go with the Eagles in the number one spot, only because the head
can't be worse
than
watching Carrot Top play quarterback.
Yeah, and the Vikings,
ahead,
I got in number two spot. Number three spot, I got Kansas City, yeah, and nobody wants to play them in either conference. Miami in the fourth spot, and I got Bills in the fifth spot. And this, if there was
good
a
stuff.
Sixth spot that we were talking about, I'd have to talk about the Giants. Giants are still playing good football. So anyway, that's my top five, and I put Giants in the sixth spot.
The only reason why I had the Vikings number one, because, like I said, again, it was who the Eagles lost to. Now, granted, we can talk about the Commanders, the division rival, some of that, too. So it was kind of like, not saying they're both, you know, terrible, but it was like, man, the Vikings lost to the Eagles. So I figured that was more of a significant loss, if you will, too. So, but, you know, and I had the Chiefs initially three and four, so I know it could have went either way, honestly, but I just felt the Dolphins are a stronger team at this juncture. But no one wants to play the Chiefs, man, so it's great from that. And this is why they were fun, and this is why we do this, so. We have some times with that, too.
Well, it's
hey, I mean, even though the Eagles won, I mean, you still can't argue with the Vikings at number one, too. I mean, they made a strong case for number one with that win and with the Eagles losing. So I don't think there's any argument, at least not for me, with the Vikings being number one. I just got the Eagles slightly ahead of me right now.
Yeah,
you know, and it's hard to win these division games, you know, like we've talked about the last several weeks. So it really didn't surprise me. And the Redskins are talented enough where they can
– the Commanders.
And angry enough and inspired enough with what their coach has gone through to upset these other teams in the NFC East.
Yeah. We'll talk about that too. Good stuff. We're going to talk about the Eagles being exposed last night. And this is something – I don't know if you said it, JQ, or Rob – talk about getting run on, and you see the impact of not having Jordan Davis. He's got the high ankle sprain, He's been out since October the 20th, so you can see how that's impacted that defense. You know, him and N'Kobe Dean were doing some great, you know, great stuff. And so right now, you saw what literally happened is that, you know, Tyler Haneke, he played game control, managed the game, made just enough plays. And the Eagles were kind of exposed as far as, you know, obviously you can run on them too. So, you know, you kind of forced Jalen Hurts to make some decisions, if you will. So I don't know if that was you, JQ, or that was Rob that mentioned about, you know, getting run on. So, but that you can definitely see that's definitely what happened last night, if you will, right? So I'll let you take that.
Well, I don't know necessarily exposed. I think they are banged up. You talked about Jordan Davis, but if you also watch that game, it looked like A.J. Brown got hurt really early in that game. He was really never the same in that game after that, right? And I questioned some of the play calling. Yeah, that was later in the game. And that when that face mask, when he got hurt. But when A.J. Brown got nicked, if you watch that game, Miles Sanders really didn't touch the ball a whole lot in the first half. For whatever reason, like it was almost like he was on some kind of punishment. And they brought him on in the second half, and I was sitting there watching like, where's Miles Sanders, and why are you not running more with Jalen Hurts? Why are you at Jalen Hurts' strong suit and not just dropping back and throwing the ball? Like, you got to get mixed in that RPO option for him. That's what makes him more successful. And what you've seen happen also to a lesser extent with Justin Fields in Chicago, you know, tailoring that game plan to what suits them best. And I think they got a little bit away from that from that first half. I mean, you watch it, you like to watch it hang around. And the worst thing you can do is let a team that ain't supposed to be in the game hang around. They start getting that confidence and belief. But, you know, that happens especially in the division game. So, for me, some of it was injuries. Some of it was game plans, that question for Philadelphia. But no doubt they got to get Jordan Davis back because, yeah, Houston gave the blueprint and Washington followed through on it. Because Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson did just enough, you know, to keep sustained drives. They converted a whole bunch of third downs in that game to keep Jalen Hurts on the sideline. Yeah. I think the time of possession was like almost 2-1 in favor of Washington. Yeah. So the fact that it was even that close of a game, outside of the score because of that late crazy touchdown, it was still a really close game. They were time possession was 2-1. So it still tells you how good that Philadelphia team is that it was a 2-1 time possession game. It was still a one possession game to the end. So, yes, in the short term, I say they've been exposed. Now, if they get run on like that, when George Davis gets back, then I think Philadelphia fans and that franchise have a little bit more to worry about. But for the right now, you know, you just kind of got to weather that storm. Injuries happen to everybody. Got to find a way to work through that and then see, come on the other side and see who you are.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was, you know, as JQ just mentioned, the difference in that game was the time of possession and the way the Commanders possessed the football and the turnovers by the Eagles. I mean, to me, those were the two biggest factors in that football game. You know, we talked about it earlier where the Eagles turned over the ball three times all season prior to last night. That's been the key to their success all season is taking care of the football. And, hey, if you win the turnover difference in the games, there's a high percentage chance you're going to win, right? And that's what's been their key to success all season. And last night, the combination of just getting the ball ran down their throat and possession and the four turnovers, that was the difference in the game. I mean, they had a bad night. And I think if you're the Eagles coaching staff, obviously, you got to go in the locker room and see what you can do to fix that run defense temporarily. But at the same time, I think a lot of it was them beating themselves a good bit and see how they can rebound this coming week.
Well, what I would say on the game watching it is I think that to a degree, yes, you know, there were injuries there, but yes, they were exposed. You know that. You know, the Eagles can put up points, and they can put up a lot of points. So the best way to, you know, counter that is ball control. Run the clock. You know, just exactly what you saw the Commanders do is ball control. You know, it's not flashy. It's not pretty. It's, you know, for us football fans, it's still exciting. We're still watching the game. We're still energized. But for the fair to Midland football fan that's just watching games, they wouldn't like a game like that. I liked it because I watched it, and the pulling the guards out and how they were running the ball and how they were attacking that defensive line. I hope that the other teams, like my team, is watching these tapes on this. Because that's what they could do if they played them. So I liked what I saw. I liked the game plan. You know, the Washington's got a, you know, good coaching staff, and, you know, they put together a great game plan, and I was so glad that they won, even though I hate the Redskins, too. This year I hate them a little less than the Eagles.
But you don't hate the Commanders, though. You hate the Redskins, but not the Commanders.
I mean, I'm sorry. And I don't mean to disrespect, you know, any Native American or anything. It's kind of a habit of being in the NFC East for so long.
Right.
So I'd like to apologize for that. But, yes, the Commanders. I've got to practice saying that now. I hate them a little less.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Man, should we make Gary?
I will start off with, you know, this Jalen Hurts thing, if you don't mind. You know,
I was going to get right to you, actually. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, he is, you know, in the MVP conversation. So,
absolutely.
You know, with where his team is at and what they've done so far this season, I don't think anybody thought that they were going to be where they're at right now in the season, you know, going into the season. And he's done a fantastic job. So, congratulations to him. I hope he has a horrible second half of the year.
Well, the thing about it is, yeah, I think he is 100%. And, I mean, and I kind of go with this and the topic together because, to me, they kind of tie, is that when we were talking in the summertime, it was the two dudes with so much pressure on them. One was Jalen Hurts. The second one was Tua Tagovailoa, right? He was like, you got, now we've given you all these weapons around you. We try to fortify the defense around you. We've given you playmakers everywhere around you. What are you going to do? And we were like, well, who was going to be time to show improvement? Do these two teams now come into this quarterback-heavy draft looking to replace those guys? And the answer right now is nope and nope.
Nope.
They've gone all and just exceeded the expectations. Like, they didn't need it to me. They've exceeded it. Like, I would have said, okay, they're 5-4 or 6-3. Like, wow, that's what they needed to do to, you know, kind of keep the wolves at bay, so to speak. And Jalen Hurts said, you know, no, hold my beer, watch this. And you come out and go 8-1, and you got two out, you know, playing good ball, 4-0 since he's been back. And Chuck, I don't know what would have happened if they hadn't got hurt in that Cincinnati game. I would have liked to pick to my Bengals who would have still won, but, you know, that's something we don't know. So for me, both of those guys, you kind of got to put them in there and tip your cap to them, right, to me, because they had a whole bunch of people doubting them to start the season, and they got a whole bunch of people having to shut up right now.
Yeah, and if we combine in these two topics, I mean, I totally agree.
No, that was just me.
No, I'll go ahead and do it too. We can move, get us through a couple of topics here pretty fast. But yeah, Jalen Hurts is clearly an MVP conversation. The team is 8-1. Overall this season, he's taking great care of the football. He's managing the game extremely well with the RPO options, et cetera. He's definitely in the MVP conversation. Is he the leader of the pack right now? I'm not sure of that, but he's definitely in the conversation right now. I think he's top five as far as MVP conversation is right now. Are the Miami Dolphins a Super Bowl contender? I think if you asked me that 2 weeks ago, I would have said no. But since we're asking the question tonight, I'm going to say yes. And part of it is they just have a loaded roster. You look at their wide receivers. I mean, you saw the way Jeff Wilson was running that rock. Now, they got Wilson, Raheem Mostert now. They got the wide receivers. Gesicki is not a great tight end, but he's a solid tight end. When Teron Armstead is healthy and playing, they have a really good offensive line now. Then you add Chubb to the mix on that defense. I mean, they're a legit contender, in my opinion. They're definitely. I mean, obviously the AFC is loaded. We've talked about that. But you got to put the Dolphins in the conversation with the Bills and the Chiefs right now and probably the Ravens as being those top four teams in the AFC. I know the Titans are 6-3. I still don't believe in them. They're in a weak division. But I would put the Dolphins in the conversation with the top four team in the AFC, and you got to consider them to be a contender for the Super Bowl. Now, the key for them is going to be is get as many home games as possible. I mean, they're a team that plays in South Florida. You're not going to want to go to Buffalo in January, and you probably don't want to go to Kansas City in January. And you probably don't want to. Yeah, you can with that Mike McDaniel offense. They're going to run the football. You know, and yeah, I was really impressed with. I saw a good bit of that game this past weekend. Jeff Wilson was really running that rock. I was at the sports bar. It had the Saints Steelers on one TV and the Dolphins and Browns right next to me. So I was watching a good bit of that game, too. So I was really impressed with the way Jeff Wilson was running that rock.
Yeah, I would have to say that, you know, Miami's definitely a contender in the AFC. And none of us would have put them there at the beginning of the season. They weren't even in the conversation, you know. And, right. But they put enough pieces around them, and so far so good.
Yeah, that's something
we
can talk about,
too. I do think they're going to overtake the Bills. I don't think they will have the ability to overtake the Bills, though. I think if they do go in, they'll go in as a – that's just my prediction.
I think it's going to be a lot closer than what I initially thought, though.
I think
Bills and Dolphins are a lot closer than what I initially thought. I really do.
I was going to say that, too. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Gary, it's tough, right? Kind of piggyback on both of those topics. JQ mentioned it with Jalen Hurts, and you know the Eagles have some top picks right going into the draft, and it's a quarterback heavy draft, as you said. So now's the time, but it looks like Jalen's like, yo, you only drafting a quarterback under my watch. So he's definitely proven that he's the guy, which is what you wanted to figure out what happened. I think we made the comment earlier talking about how that game versus the Buccaneers kind of really propelled him to try to change what happened maybe going into the offseason. So now we're seeing that pieces put around him. Same thing about the Dolphins. It's interesting because, you know, the Browns, and no offense, man, they went and really handled the Bengals, but the Bengals were pretty much one-dimensional at that time. So they just kept, you know, obviously rushing Burrow and whatnot. And the Dolphins were able to do to the Browns. They, like Rob said, they just dominated the line of scrimmage. They ran the ball. The Browns decided that we're not going to let Hill and Waddle beat us. So they kind of stayed back, and they just got beat up. And they were like, hey, we can kind of stop them. And, you know, they didn't have their best game, but they still were able to. Tua still made some plays. And they were talking about how efficient Tua was. Brought up a quarterback legend in Steve Young, another lefty, kind of doing this thing. That's how efficient he's been running that offense, too. So that, you had a key piece in getting Bradley Chubb. That was what took the defense to another level. He just, you know, pretty much just waylaid Conklin and the tackles for the Browns, and they didn't really have an answer for that after that, too. So right now, you know, you're looking at the Dolphins, they're getting confidence, right? And right now, you know, Mike McDaniel's pushing all the right buttons. You know, Tua's the guy that's kind of doing everything. If Tua gets hurt, that's another conversation. But right now, the way that they're playing, the confidence, the defense, they can run the ball. You got speed. I mean, it's kind of a perfect recipe right now for them to be up in there, like you said, Rob, in pretty much trying to in the AFC. So that's my 2 cents on that.
And I like the other defensive end, too, Phillips from the University of Miami. I really like the way he played this
past Phillips,
too.
Yeah.
I like the way he played as well this past Sunday. So with him and Chubb on the edge, that gives them a legitimate pass rush.
If they get another, I mean, you know, I think you said, you know, Jacek sees doing things. If they get another dynamic, you know, tight end, man, that offense can be really explosive, you know. So that's just a situation, too, right there. I mean, not that it's not explosive as it is, but, again, you got weapons upon weapons, man. That's another situation, too. So that's just scary. But, you know, like you said, the Dolphins.
Hey, give Mike McDaniel a lot of credit. I mean, he's putting those weapons in the position to succeed, too. I mean, I have to give him credit. He's doing a heck of a job as a play caller.
He's a missing piece from what's happening with San Francisco, too, right? Even though, you know, he was a lot in charge of that run game coordination, too, and it just – as much as I hate what the Dolphins did to Brian Flores, it's like, man, you know, look, if I made the right, I made the right decision. It's kind of tough right now. So, but yeah, they did something wrong. About the Philadelphia Eagles, man, it should be.
But they also gave Mike McDaniel a lot of weapons to be successful too.
100%.
I mean, it's kind of like the Tony Dungy thing, right?
Winning record.
Right.
But, we should love Philly, man. Philly has the most black quarterbacks, man. What? Then they go back, you know, Randy Cunningham, Mike Vick, Donovan McNabb, Jalen Hurts. They just keep getting the black quarterbacks, man. We got to support them, man. Come on, man. Philly.
Never.
No. Sorry.
I knew it was a no for Gary. I'm not sure why it was a no for JQ. Or JQ for the Northeast Corridor. I forgot.
No, I was speaking to the service and I both.
I'm going to give you a hard time.
You got two names.
Hey,
I don't hate the Eagles. They're not my favorite team, but I don't hate them.
Yeah, it's funny. Let's talk about Cooper Kupp heading to IR, Gary. What's up with that? So that's a pretty big blow for the Rams.
Well, yeah, because he's their guy. You know, he's their big play
weapon.
He
is their guy.
You know, and he's got a high ankle sprain that's going to require surgery. So I don't know how long he's going to be out. But as long as he's out, they're in some trouble. They're in some trouble anyway. But they're really
in trouble with
him.
It looks
out.
Like he's going to be out about 4 to 6 weeks. So that's most of the rest of the regular season. So, I mean, there's a chance they may get him back for a few games.
Well, what I read earlier today is 4 to 6 weeks would be the best case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So we'll see. I bet, you know, they'll know more after the surgery, apparently. So we'll have to figure that one out. But, you know, if he's out they're not going to be a playoff team. So I don't think they have to worry about the playoffs right now. Without him in there to make those big splash plays, I don't see him making the playoffs.
Yeah, he had what they call it, that tightrope ankle surgery. I think Tua had it when he was at Alabama. A couple other people have had it. Yeah, 4 to 6 weeks, best case scenario. And I'm at the point where if he's your dude, he's your offense, then you're not going to make the playoffs. Why even bring him back? You go ahead and let him go in the offseason and get fully healthy for next year. And outside of that, they had already lost two offensive linemen. And if what I read was correct, the two guys that were replacing those two guys got hurt and are done for some weeks. So the Rams are in a whole bunch of trouble. It's wild. You might not have either one of the Super Bowl participants make the playoffs. Now, you only get one of them, and you're normally the loser, which would be my Bengals. But to have both of them miss the playoffs is crazy. But it's the NFL, and that's why it's so exciting is that any given year you feel like your team can go from, last to first. But the Rams are in a whole bunch of trouble. They didn't need to see Seattle be good, right? And you got some other teams, they didn't need the NFC East to be good as a division. Nobody saw that coming.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Rams went without Kupp. Yeah, 100%. Without Kupp, they have no chance.
You thought Russell Wilson going to Denver was going to be totally different.
Yeah.
You thought that was going to be like
he's the one.
That did not happen. That did not happen. Go ahead, Rob.
Well,
the one thing we've been waiting to happen to the Rams.
Go ahead, Rob.
Go ahead, Gary. Sorry.
Okay, you know, we all thought the NFC West and the AFC West were going to be the two toughest divisions in football, and they're not.
How wrong?
I mean, I thought, you know, if I were a betting man, and I am, I would have bet on that those two conferences, you know, the West, NFC West, and AFC West being the strongest in their conferences, but had a loss on both counts in a big way, especially the NFC West. That's even worse than the AFC West.
But the one thing we talked about in all season about the Rams that was cause for concern was that offensive line, and it's really coming into fruition this season. They're really hurting on an offensive line. I mean, they had 85-year-old guys playing left tackle, and now he's gone. And now the rest of the line is, he was really the only good lineman. And they're really hurting. We talked about that. And that's the one, I mean, they went for it and they won the Super Bowl, so you can't argue with them. But now not having those first-round picks is starting to catch up with them, because that's when you get your elite offensive lineman, right, in those first and second rounds. And that's where they're missing right now, starting to catch up to them. But they won a Super Bowl. Hey, if you're going to go all in and you win a Super Bowl, hey, you can't argue with that. But now it's starting to catch up with them, particularly on that offensive line. They're really hurting on that O-line.
Yep.
And that's offensive line being weak, that's where you miss that guy like Cooper Kupp with that, you know, with that inside move he does. And then Cooper Rush, Cooper Kupp. And then think, you know, he takes that. He can take that 12-yard quick inside move and take it, you know, 60 yards to the house or whatever. We've seen him do that many times, plays like that. Now he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a sack.
That's
a maybe there's a quarterback in for the Rams that wants to be traded back to the Lions now.
Mm-mm.
There you go.
No.
I'm just
not ready for that yet. Rob, talk about that catch for Justin Jefferson.
Hey, we talked about it earlier, man. It was insane. That's about all I can say. You know, that's definitely the catch of the year in the NFL. Probably the catch of the year in football. I mean, where does it rank all time? I mean, you know, you have to go up and rank him against some of those OBJ catches, right? But, man, that's right up there. I guess the common denominator, those guys with the LSU, right? But, I mean, it's hard. Outside of OBJ, it's hard to imagine anybody else being in the same league with that catch right there by Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I was going to say, as much as I don't want to, you know, feed into this LSU foolishness, it's probably just right there with OBJ. That was pretty much insane. That one you talked about with Notre Dame the other day was pretty good, too. And I don't know if you remember. I remember because I'm a Buckeye fan when Noah Brown did the sound similar to Oklahoma in Norman when he called it on the dude's back falling into the end zone. But, you know, that far down the field, one hand to bring it in, especially in the time and circumstance of the game. You don't make that catch, that game is over. So
fourth
I think that to me elevates it. Yeah, that to me elevates it because that other situation of what happened. So, yeah, that was pretty nuts. I missed it, actually, because I was at my daughter's soccer game. It was a championship game, right? So I was trying to be a good dad and not be on my phone. And my phone was just, oh, my God, I can't believe that Jefferson catch. The Jefferson catch was crazy. I was like, good Lord, have mercy. So when I finally got back and looked at it, I said, yeah, that's pretty sick.
And I think I sent y'all a text and said, wow, Jefferson, where did he go to college?
We saw that. Nobody replied to that.
Yeah.
I was DJing, so that was my excuse, but it's all good.
No, you wouldn't have replied anyway.
I can follow that, Ken.
No, I would say that,
but
you know, that
is,
that
yeah.
Little Beckham Jr. catch where he did that one-handed catch in the end zone
kind of
against
back.
The Cowboys.
Yeah.
And then the only other catch, and it's not as good as those catches, but the helmet catch in the Super Bowl.
I was thinking that
pretty
was
good.
Too. The Giants.
What was, you know, that was pretty good. And that was
Tyree,
pretty good.
Words
that
out
was,
of my mouth, Gary.
And that was that one that was, I don't know, I mean, it was just a must-play type of a deal. So to have that one, I would put that one in the conversation as well.
Yeah, super. Yeah, basketball both open if you don't make that catch. So that's a good call.
Stupid refs. I hope they would have made a call to the catch nowadays, what's going on now, because that's some bull crap. Sometimes they be calling some crazy calls, man. So it's all good. We're going to talk about the AFC picture as of today, and I know you were talking about this earlier, Rob, so we can kind of go over these really quickly here. So seven spots, if you will. Right now you got the Chiefs number one. They're 7-2. They're first place in the AFC West. Got the Dolphins at 7-3, which are first in the AFC East. We mentioned this. The Titans are going to be in the third spot at 6-3, but obviously that AFC South division is crap. It's nothing but crap.
Boo-boo.
In the words of, Sean Connery. And, again, they're just kind of like the best right there. You got the Ravens, who are number one in the AFC North. This is a surprise, guys. The Jets at 6-2, they're actually second in the AFC East. Bills.
Yeah, 6-3, yeah.
They get the sixth seed, and then they're the fifth in the AFC East is really representing here. And then, finally, Gary's favorite team at 5-4, you got the Patriots with the fourth seed as of today if the playoffs happen. So that's what looks right now.
All
in the hunt
teams.
On the bubble, you got the Bengals and the Chargers are on the bubble, if you will, right now, or in the hunt, as they say, too. So the 5-4, obviously Chargers play the Chiefs this week, and then, you know, I don't know if the Bengals are playing, but that's kind of what's happening right
Pittsburgh.
Now, too, as far as if the playoffs. So, yeah, that's going to be tough. So that's what's happening right now, if you will.
But they'll beat the Steelers. They got a quarterback.
We thought that in week one, too, so we'll see.
You said the AFC is ridiculous.
Right now. All four in the playoffs. That's nuts. That's what we were thinking about the AFC West. And I told you, we just had the wrong coast.
The East is represented. But who thought that we had some question marks? I'll let Gary talk on this. We have some question marks, right? The Dolphins were a question mark. We pretty much, maybe it was just me, you assumed if the Colts were just the quarterback away, they had a solid offensive line.
Yep.
You had Jonathan Taylor. You thought that was a good situation. You know, we were kind of like not sold on the Titans, but we figured it would be kind of be fourth in that division, or maybe third or fourth, excuse me, in that. Obviously, Derrick Henry is still coming back from that. And it was just interesting, too. And, you know, the Jets, we're going to talk about a surprising run right now, too. It's like, what the hell is happening with that, too, at 6-2? You know, they're surprisingly,
defense.
You know, they're not making mistakes. And, you know, yeah, so defense has been, you know, we'll talk about Sauce Gardner, one of the top rookies, too. But
yep.
It's just an interesting situation, too, as far as what we kind of anticipated between those, you know, two different conferences, as you mentioned, too. So, Gary, your thoughts on that, too, as well, sir.
Well, you know, Rob's not Rob, but JQ's been a little – he's made a few comments on his Bengals. I think the Bengals are definitely going to be a playoff team. That's my opinion. The Jets, they're the
I agree when it's all said and
team.
Done.
What'd you say, Robert?
Oh, they lost Chase, man.
I agree with you. I think the Bengals will be a playoff team when it's all said and done. You got to think attrition with those AFC East teams playing against each other going to beat up. Somebody's going to fall off.
Right.
I think the Bengals are the Chargers got a ton of injuries right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still capable, but I think the Bengals will be that team. We'll eventually get back in there. I agree with that.
Well, and the Jets. The Jets, the way they're playing – you know, they're playing good football. You know, they're keeping it out of the hands, you know, running the ball, playing good defense, and keeping it out of the hands of the quarterback as much as possible. And that's creating wins instead of creating close losses or blowout losses and lose the turnover battles, those sort of things. So I think those
mm-hmm.
– And as far as in the NFC, yeah, the NFC East is the surprise division. It's not much of a surprise with the two teams. I thought the Cowboys and the Eagles would, but I thought by now that the Giants would be, you know, tailing off a bit, and they're not, and it's pissing me off. But, you know, and then, now the Redskins are starting
man.
To play this. Inspired commanders. Thank you for correcting me again. The Commanders are playing this, you know, inspired football for their coach. You know, if you watch the post game comments in their locker room, Rivera couldn't even. He was trying to say that, you know, my mom would be proud of you guys, but he couldn't
mm-hmm.
even say that, so he walked out. And one of the players came, stepped in the center and started talking and, you know, that's what scares me. It's when teams like that, that's what makes them dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these players every week on every team, you know, they give it 100%. But when you get teams like that are willing to go that extra mile, they're willing to almost die out there for you. You know, that's what they're doing for Rivera. That's what they'll do for Rivera for the rest of the season. So they'll probably end up splitting with the Cowboys and splitting with the Giants or worse, you know, and having a good second half of the season. So I'm afraid of them, too. So I don't know who else is going
to
– go ahead, Rob.
No, I'm sorry. I thought you were done. Go ahead and finish your comment.
No, go ahead. I'm finished. Say what you needed to say.
No, I was just going to say, and they need to go ahead and get that starting job to Taylor Heineke. I mean, they're over the last few years, they are just a much more competitive team when he's in that in the lineup. I mean, Carson Wentz not the answer. That I think they've won three in a row now with Taylor Heineke at quarterback right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, 3-1, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I think it's three in a row, if I'm not mistaken, or at least two in a row. Maybe three out of the last four or something like that.
Yeah, three of the last four. They lost that one to the Vikings at the end. So three of the last four.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. So, yeah, three out of the last four. They got to give him that job and see what they can do with him at the quarterback position. They might have a chance at a wild card. So we'll go ahead and compete with him. He's competitive.
He's mobile. He gives you something in the run game, too. Your RPO options as well. I take my chances on him going forward. They need to give him that job. And were y'all ever in school when you get in trouble, they make you write lines when you were growing up? You know?
Yep.
You know, like, I will not talk in class anymore or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to write it like 100 times. I think we need to give Gary a homework assignment. He needs to write commanders like 100 times. Right? can we give him a punishment assignment? He needs to write commanders 100 times.
No,
so
it
right.
And, you know, the other piece of that is the commanders are getting ready to get Chase Young back, too. So that's also another
that.
Weapon.
I was
going to
say that, too. Yeah.
I know. That gives them another force.
Crazy, so.
Absolutely.
So they're going to be right there, right there.
Okay, I'll do that.
Quickly,
I'll do that for you. Principal Ford.
We want to see it too, man. You gotta send us a hard copy of it. You gotta scan it to us.
I'll send it to you.
We're gonna talk through the really quickly the top 7 rookies, and then we want to talk about Rob your updated top 32 draft prospects that we posted on the Talking Sports page. If we have time, we'll get to the shout-outs too. But obviously, pretty much I'll feel on the same page. Sauce Gardner, you know, looking at your corner, so he's probably the number one at this juncture I've got for the Jets. Chris Olave, shout-out to him, Ohio State, for you, for the Saints, just doing great stuff here, route running and whatnot too for the Saints, even though there's no way in hell Andy Dalton is going to play for the Falcons. Don't put that out there. So I don't want any part of that. So just make sure that is
he's
definitely
gonna,
out
he's
there in the universe.
He's going to complete all of our teams. Y'all going to sign him.
And then please, Lord, no. Lord Jesus, no. I've got Tariq Woolen for the Seahawks. And, you know, this guy started out as – we thought he was going to be a developmental corner. He's got 4 picks coming into the season, man. So I've got him in there. Damian Pierce, we talked about him. Oh, yeah, he had 5. Yeah, I just had to update that too. So, yeah. Damian Pierce for the Texans, again, really great picker from the Texans, doing his thing running. Like I said, we'll talk about what's happening with the – I know we're surprised we have the Texans on here, you know, with Davis Mills. Is that going to be the guy at quarterback? I like Garrett Wilson at number 5. Ever since he made the move from the slot to the outside, you talk about the impact he's having right now for the Jets. Like that move. Kenneth Walker III for Seattle, just – major impact, you know, making explosive plays ever since he's been elevated. So I like that him. And I'm going to leave number 7, Aiden Hutchinson for the Lions. He leads all rookies with 4.5 sacks over Trayvon Walker. He's got about, 6 quarterback carries, something crazy like that. So he is actually making the Lions look like they make, you know, a great pick for that too. So that's what I've got for my top 7.
Yeah, I'm pretty close. I got Sauce Gardner number 1. I mean, he's completely shutting down one side of the field for the Jets. And Robert Saleh just say, hey, y'all can keep trying him if you want. He just keeps shutting it down. And he's doing a phenomenal job. He's definitely, so far, the defensive rookie of the year. I still have Chris Olave at the number 2 spot, even with the quarterback play for the Saints. He's been one of the bright spots. He's on pace for almost 1,200 yards receiving this year. His route running has just been insane. I mean, he just keeps finding a way to get open. So a phenomenal job, but Kenneth Walker, I got him at number 3 and actually knocking on number 2's door, because he's been a huge impact on that Seattle's offense. I mean, he has just electrified and give them another weapon to go with that passing game and that run game. So I got Kenneth Walker at the number 3 spot, and, I got Drake London at number 4, you know, the Falcons have had some success this year with Mariota and his running the game, but I think if they had a better quarterback throwing the football, I think he would have a even better season this year, too. I looked at the way he played against the Panthers on another night. He had some really good catches in that game, too. So I got Drake London at the number 4 spot. He's got good hands. He uses his body well, too, and positions himself almost like a basketball player. He posts you up with his size. Number 5, I got Garrett Wilson, another Buckeye. See, I don't just praise LSU guys. I give the Buckeyes their props, too. He's got 2 players over here in my top 7. So I got Garrett Wilson at number 5. He's definitely trending up for the Jets as well. Tariq Woolen, you mentioned it. This kid was drafted in the 5th round. I thought he should have been drafted somewhere in the 2nd or the 3rd, but he played at University of Texas, San Antonio. He's 6'4". These are the kind of corners that Pete Carroll and the Seattle organization always love. They always find a way to get these guys, and already he's making an impact and starting for them. He could possibly even be higher on this list, too. Number seven, I got Damian Pierce, running back from Houston. Just a hard physical runner. Another steal, fourth-round draft pick, too, from Florida.
No qualms from any of those.
That's it. That's good.
Appreciate that, man. I love that you're showing Brother Drake London. I don't want to seem like a homer with that, man. We're happy with what he's doing, too. Like you said, again, number one receiver, he should be up there, too. So we're just I was trying to go with my head and not my heart. So appreciate you as well. We did that in a perfect amount of time, Rob. So go ahead and talk about the top 32 NFL draft prospects going into the league. And we'll see if some quarterbacks rise and fall, as we always do. JQ's favorite guy, Spencer Rattler's up there, too. From last year.
Nope,
oh, my God.
He's not in the top 32. Even though South Carolina has been playing better the last couple of weeks, I will say, but I don't have Rattler in the top 32 right now. So the top 32 is updated and is posted on our Talking Sports page, Facebook page. I have Bryce Young at the number one spot. I have C.J. Stroud at the number two spot. I have Will Anderson, edge rusher from Alabama, at the number three. Jalen Carter, he had a phenomenal game against Tennessee a few weeks ago. Really showcased his talent tremendously on a big stage. I have him at number four. Will Levis, I have him at the number five spot. And this is intriguing because I don't think he's one of these prospects a lot of scouts are comparing to Josh Allen. Josh Allen's last season at Wyoming wasn't the most accurate passer that year. And Will Levis is similar. He's got the strong arm like Josh Allen has. He has the athletic ability. He's going to get drafted on his talent. And the same thing with number six, Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson reminds me of a mix between Josh Allen and Justin Fields. Last 3 weeks, Anthony Richardson's played outstanding from Florida. He's still got to improve on his accuracy, just like Will Levis needs to improve on his accuracy. But the talent and the arm talent and the running ability for both of these guys are there. And so they're going to get drafted on their talent and hope that they can develop these prospects just like the Bills did with Josh Allen. So I have them at number five and six. So that's four quarterbacks right there in the top six. Miles Murphy, edge rusher against Clemson. I thought Notre Dame did a really good job against him a couple of weeks ago, though. But he's a big edge rusher. Keely Ringo is coming up big for Georgia here recently, cornerback. I got him at number eight. And Quentin Johnson, wide receiver from TCU. He's fast. He's physical. He's tall. He's been a huge weapon for TCU. And I have him at number nine spot. Brian Breesy, defensive tackle from Clemson. I thought Notre Dame did a good job against him, too, but overall, he's still one of the top prospects in the draft. I'm going to skip around a little bit now. I got Bijan Robinson, top running back in the draft from Texas. His stock is on the rise, too. Right now, I have him the only running back in the first round to catch his ball out of the backfield. He could run it. Joey Porter Jr., 6'2 cornerback from Penn State. His dad played for JQ's favorite team. I got him at the number 13 spot. Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's been kind of hurt a good bit this season, but his talent is still there. Got him at number 15. He's another guy that could really rise if he finishes the season strong and then going into these postseason practices. Jordan Addison, wide receiver from USC, I have him at 16. Jared Verse, edge rusher from Florida State, he's been a big steal for them, transfer. So he's been a big prospect for them. Paris Johnson, offensive tackle from Ohio State. You look at his tape, he's really shining against some tough competition, too, last year and this year. So he's at number 23. Michael Mayer, tight end from Notre Dame, number 24. Doesn't have a good quarterback in Notre Dame. I tell you, watching those quarterbacks play in that game a couple of weeks ago was putrid, but there's no question about Michael Mayer's talent. You know, you got a chance to see it a little
Baby
bit
Brock.
In that game. But if you – Yeah.
Well, he was there at the game. We were joking he was going to try to sneak back in and try to play, but they would have known how much of a difference I would have made if he would have snuck in the game because he was on the field. Like, put me in. I'm like, damn, bro.
It was that bad. We got Kayshawn Boutte, wide receiver from LSU at number 26. He got off to a slow start this year, coming off that injury, but he's really been coming on of late here. Shavontre Sweat, big defensive tackle from Deck, Texas, man. He reminds me a lot of Jordan Davis. He is huge. He's a run stuffer.
Ooh.
He's another guy that could possibly climb. And then the last quarterback, the four man's Cam Newton, KJ Jefferson. I got him at number 32,
Arkansas.
Quarterback from Arkansas. He can run the football. He's improving and throwing the football as well. So I could round him out at the number 32 spot.
Shavontre Sweat, huh? That's what we're looking at? That's the guy? That's a big space eater that I'm looking
Shavontre
at?
Shavontre Sweat. He's been impressed with the Texas here, especially over the last five games.
Sounds like a thousand.
I mean,
if right
he's
there,
what, 0-0, 3-0 halftime score? So, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate you putting that.
Yep.
Maybe
yes,
next we could talk about the quarterbacks, because I wrote down some teams. Guys, I totally forgot. We make fun of the Panthers all the time. You know, Matt Corral did get drafted by the Panthers, right? So, but again, we're going to figure out what happens with that coaching staff, if that's the guy, or because I've got about, you know, six teams right there, or seven teams right now, of any quarterback, right? Panthers, Texans, Patriots, Colts, Raiders, Giants, Saints, Bucks, Falcons. We don't know, right?
I'm about to say you. Where the Saints at on that list?
I put the Saints up there. I put the Saints up there too. Yeah, I put the Saints there, bro. They're gonna be in the Cooper Rush League stakes, man. That's what's gonna happen, or the Geno Smith
stakes. Wow.
Well, Seattle's not gonna let Geno Smith go. You can forget that.
Oh no, he's gonna get paid.
Yeah. You know, we gotta say that was very good. Do you got anything to say on that, Gary? Any thoughts, my friend?
No, I got nothing on that. Sorry, I've been watching the Blazer game. Moving on.
Oh, and the Spurs? I got them all on my TV, but here too. They only up by 1 point on the Spurs, huh?
Yeah.
Topic too, Gary.
Good game.
We'll give you your last point if we wrap up the show. Something you want to highlight?
Pardon?
Anything you want to highlight for one of the topics? Any one of the topics you want to talk through, it's all yours. The floor is yours.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the Bucks. And there's no way the Bucks are headed back to the Super Bowl. No way in hell are the Bucks headed back to the Super Bowl. They're, you know, that's all I got to say about that. Tom Brady's the guy, but he's an older guy. He's not going to will them back. He doesn't have enough around him, and he doesn't have enough in his own skill set at this point of his career. They're done.
Yeah. I agree with that, but I put an asterisk next to it. As long as the refs don't cheat.
Hey, man, I don't know if you got that put behind me, and they're going to get a home playoff game, more than likely. Don't count them out yet. I don't want it to happen, but don't count them out yet. They're going to get a home playoff game, and then you see where that goes.
Yeah,
yeah,
they got the defense.
We'll
say
that goes for sure.
Keep them in game.
You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you all recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show on tonight. We had a lot of fun talking some NFL football with you all tonight. Hopefully you all enjoyed it. We'd like to hear from you all. Please reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter. We definitely would love to hear from you. Give us some comments on what you agree with us on or what you disagree with us. Next Tuesday night, we're going to be right back at you. It's going to be Tuesday before Thanksgiving. We're going to give you a good sports talk piece on next Thursday night, your pre-Thanksgiving meal. So you definitely want to join us on the East Coast. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Philadelphia, we want to hear from y'all after your first loss. We want to see how y'all respond this coming week. College basketball, Raleigh Durham, we want to hear from y'all. Tar Heels and Duke fans. That's East Coast, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. In the Central Time Zone, Chicago, Justin Fields, man, he's stepping up. We want to hear from y'all, Bears fans. I know a tough loss against the Lions this past week, but what do y'all think about Justin Fields? We want to hear from y'all at 10 p.m. Central Time on next week. Mountain Time Zone, we want to hear from y'all too. The Utah Utes playing Oregon this week. We want to get a recap from y'all this coming week. And also those Jazz still near the top of the Western Conference in the NBA. And then last but not least, the Pacific Time Zone. We want to hear from y'all. Fresno, Jackson, Mississippi of California. Got to hear from y'all. Good night, people.
Oh, a lot of good football happening again this weekend. He's so stupid. Got a lot of good football happening on Saturday and Sunday. I know we didn't, probably not going to get to all the predictions on it, but I'm looking forward to that this weekend for sure. Y'all hit us up next week and tell us how you feel about it. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I feel bad. The Jets and the Patriots is pretty interesting. If the wizardry of Bill Belichick is going to shut down Zach Wilson. Cowboys and Vikings, big game. Can the Cowboys shut down, Kirk Cousins? That's pretty big, right? And the Chiefs and Chargers, obviously, the Chiefs are pretty hurt, man.
Kirk Cousins shows up.
Yeah. he always does cave during big games, right? That's been his MO, if you will. So it's going to be interesting for sure. So,
Justin Jefferson keeps showing up.
That's going to be interesting. That's going to be with him and Diggs, though. Yeah. I'm going to take the Jets, the Cowboys, and the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty I like it.
Those were my picks as well.
Yeah, really quickly.
I'm
going to
go Patriots, Vikings, and Chiefs. Patriots, Vikings, and Chiefs are my picks.
Okay, good stuff. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Really quickly, I just want to do a quick shout-out to my boy. I'm wearing this is a Braves hat. Shout-out to Michael Harris. Obviously getting the Rookie of the Year. That's
congrats.
Just a great move for him.
Well deserved.
You
had a heck of a year.
Second, too. Over Spencer Strider, which is a great thing. And obviously Julio Rodriguez did well for the Mariners. Shout out to Seattle for that. That's amazing. I wanted my heart for Ken Griffey Jr. for the Mariners. So I always have an affinity for them too. So that's just kind of me dating myself. But, good stuff, man. So I love it. I love it. Gentlemen, it's been great sharing the field of battle with you as always. Enjoy your week. We're looking forward to next week for Thanksgiving. Thank you for taking care of Curtis as always. Gary, appreciate you. Your prayers are with you, your family, and everything like that, as always, and all of our families as well, too. So you guys have been great. Appreciate you guys.
Hey, bro.
Catch you, gentlemen.
Talk to you later.
We'll see you on Tuesday.
Good night. Good night, people.
See
good night, gentlemen. Be good. Be safe.
All right, y'all.